Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubis Daf Mem Beis, and we will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis at the new perek. Says the Mishnah, Narish Nespatatop, a Nara who was seduced, Boishta Upigmo Knosso, the Boishis, the Begam payment, and the Knas, all Shalaviha belong to her father. Vatsar Petfusa, and a girl who's in Anusa, there's also the payment for tsar. As Rashi says, the anusa is called a tfusa, following the words of the Torah that say by an anusa, v'tofsa v'shochav ima. And the Torah adds that there's a chi of tsar, and that tsar is by an anusa. Machloikis rishonim, who actually collects the tsar payment by an anusa? Is the tsar payment collected by the father, just like he collects the boishis of Megam Knas? Or is the payment of tsar by the anusa collected by the Nara herself? It's also interesting to note, as we learned on Daf Lametes, Reb Shimon disagrees, and he holds that an anusa does not receive a tsar payment. Our Mishnah clearly indicates that an anusa does receive a tsar payment, and as we will learn later in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon is certainly a man d'omer who states opinion in our Mishnah, and yet he doesn't disagree about the anusa receiving a tsar payment. So some mefarshim seem to indicate that Rav Shimon never reflected or on the Reisha, never might have even heard the Reisha. The Ramban seems to suggest that there are two different Reb Shimons in Shas, and yet other Rishonim seem to suggest that there's a machloikis tanoim, what Reb Shimon holds regarding an anusa receiving tsar. And our Mishnah represents the opinion that he holds that an anusa does receive tsar. Continues the Mishnah. Om de Bedin, if the girl started the Torah, and before the Din Torah could end, the father passed away. Says the Mishnah, the halacha is Harei Hein Shalav. Since the Din Torah began before the father passed away, the money is considered the father's, and therefore Meisav, if the father dies, Harei Hein Shalachim, her brothers, who are the heirs of the father, are the ones who will get the payment. However, Lo Yispika Lamed Bedin, if there was no opportunity for the Din Torah to commence at Shemes Av prior to the father dying, then Harein Shalatzma, they belong to her. There's a Machlokes Rishonim. Since our Mishnah uses the words Omda Bedin, it seems to be indicating that it's the girl who has to be taking the person who violated her to the Torah, because Mishnah uses the words Omda Bedin. However, most Rishonim, led by the Ritva, disagree, and they hold that it's not the girl who has to take the Ma'anis to the Torah. The father has a right also to take him to the Torah, since, as we're learning, it will be ultimately the father who will be receiving the payment. Omda Bedin means that the Torah revolves around what happened to her, but it's not that she has to be the one to take him to the Torah. As we have learned, and will Amit Hashem learn, the halacha is that if a girl was a mefuta, she was seduced, then we learned the girl is meichel, the girl forgives any of the payments that are due to her, because she did the act consensually. The Rishonim debate, what would be the halacha if a girl was a mefuta? And when the Din Torah began, or when she was a mefuta, her father was still alive. Yet, by the time the Din Torah commenced, her father was no longer alive. Do we say, since the person who will be receiving the payment, as we just learned in the Mishnah, is the girl herself, and the girl herself, since she consented to this act, was meichel any payment? Or do we say that since when the act happened, or even when the Din Torah began, but when the act happened, she did not, she wasn't in power to be Meichel, she therefore will not receive the payment. She therefore will receive the payment because it wasn't hers to be Meichel. In other words, we have a Machlokes Rishonim. What will be the din by Mefuta whose father died before the din Torah commenced? Will she be entitled to payment because it really belonged to the father, or will she not be entitled to payment? And I saw the Rav Naftali Trop explains this Machlokes Rishonim in the following way. We know, everybody agrees, that the Torah says that the payment, if the father is alive, goes to the father. How do we view that? Do we view it that the payment belongs to the father? Just if there are certain issues that prevent the father from receiving the payment, as we're learning in our Mishnah, then under certain circumstances it goes to the girl. So then, certainly she cannot be meichel the payment, and she will receive it. Or do we learn that there are two distinct payments? There are just two distinct claims. There's the claim of the father, and there's the claim of the daughter. And the claim of the father comes before the claim of the daughter. Only if there is no way for the father to make his claim, as the cases of our Mishnah describe, then does the daughter have a right to make a claim. If we learn that way, then the girl who's claiming in the case where the father died is making her own claim. And if she was Mefuta, we assume she was Meichel, and therefore she's not entitled to the payment. Continues the Mishnah. If she began the Dintar before she was Begaris, arranged Shalav, the monies collected belong to the father. Meisav, and if the father dies, arranged Shalachim, they go to his heirs, her brothers. However, lo speak b'din la'ama b'din ha'chibagra, if the Torah did not commence until she became a Bulgaris, harein shalatzma, then the money go to her. And as the Mefarshim point out, the Mishnah could have actually mentioned a third case, and that is if there was nesuin prior or to the din Torah, then the money would go to her. But the Mefarshim explained, since as we learned earlier, the halacha, that if there were a nesuin, then the money goes to her. We learn from the halacha of a begeris. Once our Mishnah mentions the halacha of a begeris, this is obviously included in the same halacha. However, Rav Shimon disagrees. Rav Shimon says it's not the commencement of the din Torah which is the relevant fact. Rather, according to Rav Shimon, the relevant fact is im lespika ligvois at shemesa af. If she did not collect the payment until the father died, it's not the din Torah, it's the actual collection. And we have a very fundamental machloikis, Tosfos and other Rishonim. Our Gemara is saying, our Mishnah is saying, according to the Tanakhama, that if the din Torah commence prior or after the father died. Or according to Shimon, did the collection take place prior or after the father died? When we discuss these issues, what are we discussing? Are we discussing only the knas? That if the Dintaira commenced before he died, then the knas goes to the father and to his yarshim, otherwise they go to her? Or what will be the din regarding the Baishas Pagam? Tosfos says the Baishas of Pagam have the same halacha as the knas. And if she gets the knas, she also gets the Baishas Pagam. The Rajba and other Rishonim disagree. They say knas. So there's a special din on knas, and the father only is entitled to that knas if he was alive when the din Torah commenced. However, regarding boshes pagam, which are payments, compensation payments, those payments are always entitled to the father and to his yarshim. Continues the Mishnah. Masi yadel mitziyasa, what a girl earns and what she finds, afa pish legofsa, even though she collect them, and the Gemara will explain this line more mitzashem, meisa av, here, if the father dies, harein shalachim. And most Rishonim explain that this part of the Mishnah is a new din. And the Mishnah is drawing a contrast and saying, although regarding the knas of an oinus mefuta, we made a difference when the din Torah happened or when the collection happened before or after the father died, regarding mas yodem tziyasa, all of those issues are not relevant, and regarding them, they certainly belong to the father and to his yarshim, even if they weren't collected before their father died. There is an interesting pshat from the Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid agrees with the Tosfos that we just quoted. And the Tosfos Rid says that, just like Tosfos said, that the knas, if the father died before the dentira began, goes to the girl. So Tosfos said the Baishas of Agam have the same din. And Tosfos Rid explains, the reason being, because since Baishas of Agam are also something that require an evaluation, they require an assessment, and they therefore they require the dentira. And it makes a difference if the father was alive when the dentira began or not. However, the Tosfos Rid says that unemployment, let's say the girl was violated and she wasn't able to go to work, that's something that doesn't require any special dentara. We know how much she earns a day, a week, and that's how much she has to be compensated. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even though the knas and even though the baishas of begam will go to the girl if the father died before the dentara, the unemployment that this girl is entitled to, since it didn't require any dentira, will be considered that it belonged to the father even before he died, and therefore if he's not here, that money will go on to his yashin. Ask the Gemara, my kamashmalan, what is our Mishnah teaching us new? Tanina, it seems that everything that our Mishnah is teaching us, we have already learned. Because we learned in the previous parak, Hamafata noisin shlosh dvarim, vaynas arba. Hamafata noisin boishes begamik knas, moishevel of oynish noisin satar. So what's new? Answers the Gemara, Levi itzrichalei. Perhaps what our Mishnah is teaching us is that it goes to the father. Ask the Gemara, that also is obvious. Levi onami pshita, that the payment goes to the father. Midika yor mafata, since as we know a mafata has to pay knas, dila atzma, if the payment of mafata were to go to the girl herself, the question is amay yor mafata. Why does the mafata get the, why would the mafata have to pay? Bidata of it, she did what she did consensually, so it's obvious that the payment goes to the father. So that can't be the chiddush of our Mishnah. Ask Tosfos that there is a case that a mafata pays the girl herself, and that is if the girl, when she was seduced, was a ketana, and a ketana doesn't have the ability to be meichel, and therefore even though she was a mafata, the money goes to her. So Tosfos says the Gemara did not want to explain that our Mishnah is referring to a case of a ketana. The Gemara wanted to explain that our Mishnah is going in a case of a Nara, as all the Mishnais we've been learning are discussing. And by a Nara, she indeed is not entitled to the payment because she was Meichel the payment. Rabbi Kveger disagrees. Rabbi Kveger says that the halacha would be that a Ketana is actually would actually be considered a girl who is entitled, who's entitled to the knas. Aye, she was Michael. Answers Rabbi Kivega. Pitu ketana oynesu. When she agrees, it's not that she agreed, it's really considered that she was an oynes. The Rishash disagrees with Rabbi Kivega. Rishash says this cloud that we have, pitu ketana oynesu, doesn't say that when a girl consents, it's always considered oinus. It's only regarding one din. As we have learned, if a woman is married, if she had relations with another man, if they were forced relations, she's allowed to go back to her husband. If they were, on the other hand, consensual, she may not go back to her husband. Pitu ketana oinus, who teaches us that if the girl was a ketana, even if they were consensual, the halacha views it as oinus. But not to say, as Rabbi Kivega says, that every time a girl has consensual relationship, if she's a ketana, it's considered an oinus. The Marik uses our Gemara to answer a very interesting shaila. The shaila that was asked to the Marik was, what would be the halacha in a case where a girl was seduced, and the way she was seduced was by the man telling her, if you agree to have relations with me, I will marry you. And then afterwards, the man doesn't keep his word. The question is that considered a regular case of pitui, or is it because she was misled, it will not be considered a case of pitui? Says the Merik, the fact that the Gemara did not use that as a teretz, and saying that the case of our Mishnah is referring to a case where she was misled in the pitui, is a proof that all pitui, even such a case which was where the pitui was based on the sly that he told her he's marrying her, where he never intended to, is not considered. It's still considered a pitui. The Beis Meir disagrees with the Merik, and the Beis Meir says that this too is still considered a pitui. So the question still is, what is the chiddush of our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Om de Bedin Istrichalei. The chiddush is the case of where the Dintara commenced, and to teach us the machlokes of Shimon Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, as soon as the Dintara commences, the money belongs to the father, and Rav Shimon holds only after it was collected. The Mishnah in Masech de Shavuos discusses at length the situation of one approaching another person, Reuven approaching another Shimon, and telling Shimon, you owe me money. Shimon denies that he owes any money, and he swears falsely. And then afterwards, Shimon admits that he lied, that he swore falsely. And the halacha is that Shimon has to pay the keren, he has to pay the money he owed, he has to pay a chaymish, he has to add a fifth, and he also has to bring what is known as an Hashem Gzeilus carbon shvuah, because he lied. In fact, Rashi Masech the Shavuos explains why is he mechuyev to bring a carbon? Because when he swore falsely to the other person, he thought that the only two people that know what's going on here are he and the person making the claim. So what he was essentially saying is that he doesn't believe that there's a God that knows what's going on. And now when he makes the admission that he was lying, he's mechuyev a carbon because he did this act of kfira and Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the Mishnah says Masech the Shavuos, Tanan Hossam, Anisa Upetisa Spiti. If one approaches another person and says, you are ma'anis or mafati my daughter, v'oimer loyan nasti v'loy petisi, it's not true. So he says, mashbiyach ani, I make you swear, v'omer omein. And the person says omein, as we know, saying omein is considered as if he made a shvuah. And then he admits that he was lying. So the Tanakhama holds Chayiv. He's Mechuyiv to pay the Karen, the Chaymish, and the Sham Gzeilus. Shimon Poiter. Shimon says that he doesn't have to. She'ein Mishal Knas Lopi Atzmai. Since, as we learned in the previous year, Moide B'Knas is Potter. So if he wanted, he could have avoided the payment by just being Moide B'Knas. So this is not a situation where these halachas apply. Amrloi, and the Rabbanan tell Rav Shimon, Abishay Misham Knas al Piatzmoy, we agree regarding your argument about the Knas, Amishalim Boshes Begam al Piatzmoy. And as the Gemara in Daf Mem Gimel Amit Aleph will explain this machlaikis, the machlaikis between the Rabbanan and Rav Shimon is what is the claim being made on. If the claim is being made, like Rav Shimon says, regarding the Knas, so since he could have absolved himself, Moid Beknas Potter, from paying the Knas, that's why it's considered that he didn't, that he's, that it's not considered mammon and the regular halakhas don't apply. Whereas the Rabbanim say the claim that's being made is regarding the boishes begam, which as we've previously explained is considered mammon, and since it's considered mammon, the regular halakhas apply. Continues the Gemara, Bamin Abai Mirava. Haim l'chaveri, what would be the halakha if somebody says to another person, Onasto petitas piti, you were ma'anus and mafat my daughter, but ma'aticha bedin, we already had it in Torah, v'schayachtali mamen, and you became obligated to pay me, v'oimer, and the defendant says, loy anasti, v'loy pataisi, it never happened, loy ma'ati bedin, there was no din Torah, v'loy neschayachtali chamamen, and I never was obligated by court to pay you anything, v'nishban, then he swears falsely to this, v'hoidin, then he admits that he lied. Rav Shimon Mai, why will Rav Shimon hold under those circumstances? Do we say, Kivin to Om Bedin, since there was already not just a claim, but it already went through a Din Torah, at that point, Memoina Hava, since Bezdin paskined that he owes the money, so it's no longer a situation of Knas, it's now a situation of mammon, and therefore mechayiv oleh shvuah, and he has to pay. And yet now Rav Shimon will agree that this is a regular case with a carbon shvuah. Or dama afagav dama bedin, even though it was already din Torah, and the court paskin that he owes the money, still knas havi, it will have the status of a knas. Amalei, so Rav responds to Abaya, memoina hava. At that point, even Rav Shimon will agree it's considered mammon umchayiv oleh carbon shvuah. Eisvei asks Abaye to Rava from a Braisa, and as the Ritva explains, if Abaye was aware of this Braisa, why was he asking questions to Rava? Says the Ritva that that's the derech, that was the derech of the Talmid Chachamim. Even though they had an opinion based on Braisas or Mishnais that they were aware of, they wanted to hear their colleague's opinion. Eisvei so asks Abaye to Rava from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Rishimen Oimer, Yochel Hay Milchaveir Anasto Petitus Piti. If somebody says to someone else, you are Anas from a fat my daughter, Voy Miloy Anasti Veloipetisi, it's not true. Or he says to him, Misharchias Avdi, Yushar killed my Evid. Voy Miloy Hamis, it's not true. Aisha Miloy Avdi. Or if his Evid says to him, He palti Shine, you knocked out my tooth. Semisis Aina, you blinded my eye. Voy Miloy Palti Veloy Semisi. And the owner says it's not true. The Nishba Vahoydan, they swear falsely, and then they confess. Yoch Yechayiv. We would think that in all these cases, there's a chiv carbon shvua, tamaloima, the kichish ba misoi, but kodem, but chumus yad, or the gezel, or oshak es amisoi, or motza aved, the kichish ba the nishba shaker. These are all the cases that the Torah refers to, that are, where there's a chiv carbon shvua, a deposit, a loan, a robbery, where one had withheld wages from his friend, or he found a lost item and he denied it from its owner, and he swore falsely. So the common characteristic of all of these situations are ma'elu yuchad m'shei mamon, that they are money claims, not knas claims. Af kol shei mamon, all situations which are money claims, that's when these halachas apply yotzeilu shei knas, to exclude the cases that the Braisa mentioned, which are situation of knas. So we see clear, my love, isn't this Bryce even referring to a situation, b'sha'omad b'din, where there was already a din Torah? And yet, Rav Shimon in the Bryce calls them knas cases. So the Gemara, loy, is referring to situation, b'sha'omad b'din, where there was no din Torah. And that's why there's still knas cases. As Tosfos, of course, before the Din Torah, the Knas cases. And of course, if it's before the Din Torah, the Klal of Moedah B'Knas Potter is still relevant. So why do I need a limud? What does the Braisa have to quote a Pasuk? Answers Taisus that the Pasuk is not really a full-fledged drasha. It's only in a smachta ba'alma. The Ra'ah answers, going back to what we discussed in the Mishnah, that the claim is not only on the Knas. The Knas, it's obvious that there is no room for claim before the Din Torah. It's only a knas. But the person who's claiming that this man was Anas or Mefata, his daughter, is also making a claim for Boishas and Begam. And Boishas and Begam are Mammon. The Bryce is teaching us that since he can't make a claim on the knas, he can also not make a claim for the Boishas and the Begam. Ask the Gemara, How could Rav explain that this Bryce is referring to a situation of Shaloi Amid Bedin? Hamidareisha, since the Reisha, which we're going to learn in a moment, of this Bryce is referring to a situation of Amid Bedin, Sefer Nami B'Sham Amid Bedin, we must explain that the Sefer is also referring after the Din Torah. The Tani Reisha, the Reisha said, Eli El Advarim Shemishal Malim Asa Keret. We only know that in situations where keren is paid, that the halacha of the carbon and the keren and chaimish apply. Tashlumi keifa, tashlumi abra v'chamisha. V'aynes ma'fat v'amotzi shem reminayin. That all these cases, also these halachas apply, tamaloymer or ma'al amal. The pasuk uses the words ma'al amal. Riba tibi marba to include even these cases. Now, continues Abayim. Hey chidami, exactly what would this price be referring to? If there was no Din Torah yet, so is there a Chiv Kefil? And Rashi gives two reasons why there is no Chiv Kefil yet. One reason Rashi gives is that we can't be sure that this person is the Ganif if he wasn't convicted. And there's only a Chiv Kefil after he's convicted. Another pshat that Rashi says, along the lines that we've been learning, since Bezdin hasn't yet convicted him, and Kefil is a Knas, and Aloch is the Moedib Knas is Potter, he could still not be Chayiv the Kefil. Elo, if we're saying that there is a Chayiv Kefil, Pshita, that this case of the Bryce is referring to a situation, B'sho'omed B'din. So if now we've identified that the ratio, the opinion of the Rabbanan is referring to the situation of Bedin, Sefer, the second part of the Braisa, where Rav Shimon made a statement, is also Nami B'Sham Bedin. He was already had it in Torah. And yet the Braisa says that he's not Chayiv Karban Shvuah, which would be a difficulty according to Rava. The Rava said that Rav Shimon agrees that after Omad Bedin, there's a Chayiv Karban Shvuah. Amalei, so Rava said, Yecholnu l'shnu yelach, I really could have tried to answer the Braisa this way. Reish v'am b'din, the Reish is referring to a situation where it was already the entire, and the Seif is referring to a situation m'shloi b'din. The Kula and the entire Braisa, Rav Shimon, he represents the opinion of Rav Shimon. V'shnu yedachika l'shnu yelach, and therefore the Reish, where it was already the entire, it's mamin, and that's why it's chayv karben shvua. The Seif, where there wasn't yet a entire, it's not yet moment, and that's why the ratio of Amad Bedin is Chayiv Karban Shvuah because it was already Din Torah. The Sefer was Lo Amad Bedin, and there's no Chayiv moment. It's not moment, it's still Knas, and he's not Chayiv Karban Shvuah. And the entire Braisa would be representing the opinion of Shimon. However, Shnu Yidachik Lo Mishnu Lach. I didn't want to give you that answer because I don't want to give you a forced answer. Dim Kane, if that is shot in the Braisa, amritly you could say to me, either listening Reisha of Shimon Omer, the Braisa should have begun with the words Rav Shimon says, and then quote the entire Braisa, or listening safe, the Braisa should have ended with the words Divrei Rav Shimon. Again, to indicate that this entire Braisa represents the opinion of Rav Shimon. And interesting to note, that the Chasam Sofer, based on this Gemara, teaches us how careful when one has a kasha and one attempts to say an answer, how careful one should be to say an answer which is emes, and not just say an answer for the sake of saying an answer. Ella, the way we have to explain the Braisa is kul b'sham b'din, that there was already din Torah. The Reish, the opinion of the Reish, is the opinion of Rabbanan. The Seif is the opinion of Rav Shimon. Or b'din aloch, and Rav Shimon will agree l'inyan karban shvuah that even after the Torah was paskin, even after he was convicted, he's not chayiv karban shvuah. The Rechmona patri mekichesh. The Torah teaches us in the words mekichesh that since this started as a knas, he's never going to be chayiv karban shvuah. Vekikar mina mamon have it. I Rabba said that it is considered mammon. Regarding what that I considered mammon, only L'Rishal Bammah, that it's already considered the father's money, and that his heirs, his sons, are the ones that will get this money. But not regarding Karban Shvuah, and as the Gemara will explain soon why there is no Chiv Karban Shvuah. As to Rishonim, if we look at the Gemara on Daf Mem Beis and Aleph, we look at Rav Shimon's, at Rava's words. Rava's words were, Amalei memoina hava, umechayiv ala karban shvuah. So how could have Rava ever said that, and now change? So some Rishonim explain, the Rava had a Kabbalah from his Rebbe's, that the way that it's called mammon, since it's called mammon, he assumed that's considered mammon all the way, that he's chayiv karan, and chaymish, and karban shvuah. And now, he says, you know what, I recognize that what my Rebbe said, it's considered mammon, it's only considered mammon as far as the Karen and Chaimish, as far as L'Rish Levonov, but not as far as Karban Shvuah. That's one way the Rishonim explain. Another way the Rishonim explain is that Abaya made the error in understanding what Rava meant. Rava said, Memoina Hava. So Abaya assumed that when Rava says Memoina Hava, it's considered full-fledged Mammon. And there's a Chiv Karban Shvuah. Tells Rava now to Abaya, you misunderstood me. I never meant that it's considered full-fledged mammon. I only considered a mammon regarding Loirisha Levonov, but regarding Karban Shvua, I never considered it mammon. Eisvei asked the Gemara, it said in our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Omer, if she did not collect the money before the father died, if the father did not collect the money before he died, then the knas of the oinus mafata, the oinus vata reish latzma, go to her. V'amit mamon have a l'rish l'bonif. And if you're saying that Rav Shimon holds, that as soon as there's a psak, it's considered mamon, so what's the difference if the father collected it or not? Latzma mai, why does it go to her? We're learning now that Rav is explaining that according to Rav Shimon, once the dentire was paskin, it's considered mammon. So the achen boy mahevi, Amar Rava, says Rava, hi milsa kasha by Rav and Rav Yosef esav etatnishnin. Rav and Rav Yosef had this question for 22 years. V'loifarik, and they couldn't answer it. Ad the Yosef, Rav Yosef v'rei shal perka. Until Rav Yosef was appointed the Rosh Yeshiva, and he was able to answer it. And as Rashi explains, Rav was originally the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Yosef was his Talmud. And Rav Yosef and Rav knew that they had this question, they couldn't answer it. Min HaShemayim, Rav Yosef had Siyata D'Shemaya, that after he was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, and as Rashi explains, Rav Yosef was not as great as Rav was, so people were saying we don't have such a Rosh Yeshiva like we used to have. After Rabbi Yosef was appointed Rosh Yeshiva, did Rava, so in the Shemayim, they wanted to show that he is special and that he is Adam Chashev, so they gave him the opportunity to answer a question that was left difficult for 22 years. The Taisus Rosh takes somewhat of a different approach. The Taisus Rosh's approach is that we know that the Gemara says in many places that what was the difference between Rav and Rav Yosef? Rav was an Oika Horim, he was a tremendous Lamdan, and Rav Yosef is known as a Sinai, as a Baki. And people said that people usually show so much more respect to an Oika Horim, to a Lamdan. So they wanted to show, Min HaShemayim, the significance of a Kiyas. And that Rav Yosef, who had this attribute of being this tremendous Baki, has this Chshivas. So he was able to answer the question that for 22 years was left unanswered. Shani Hasam, the case of Oynis Mefat is different. Dama Kro, for Nosan Isha Shoichiv Malavi Anara Chamishim Kasef. There the Torah specifically says, Lezochsa Torah La'av, the Torah says that this money does not belong to the father, al mishas nesina, until it was actually given to him. V'ki kamer Ramon, Rav v'moina havel roish lebanof, Rav that said that Rav Shimon agrees that once Bezdin paskin, it's considered money. That's regarding shar knosos. Asked because here the Torah says the word v'nosin. El ma'ata gabe eved, asked the Marv, that's pshat, by eved iksiv, kesef shloishim shkolim yitin la'adonav. So again, we should say that knas, hokin nami lezichs l'tayr la'adon, el mishas nesina, could hear Turi Yari use the word v'nosan, answers the Gemara, yitin l'chud v'nosan l'chud. The word yitin is one thing and nosan is another thing. And as the Ritva explains very beautifully, he says, if we look in the pasuk that discusses the Anusa, the Torah says, V'tafsa v'shachav ima v'nimtzu. The man was ma'anis her, had relations with her, v'nimtzu. So the Torah uses the words v'nimtzu. V'nimtzu means that court found him guilty. That's why here the Torah uses, and then v'nosan. So it's clear that after all of the proceedings, and he paid, only then is it considered the father's. Ask the Gemara if the word v'nosan teaches that by oynes and mefata it's different than all other fines. So why, when Rav Shimon was saying in the Braisa his halacha, does he say tamalayim v'kicheish? He should have quoted the right pasuk. Tamalayim v'nosmi boile. He should have quoted the right pasuk, which is the basis of his limud. Amarav ki etzrich v'kicheish. The pasuk of a kichesh is coming to teach us a different case. Kigoin, sha'on the bedin, where a girl had a dentira, ubagra of a mesa, and she became a begaris, and then she died before collecting the fine. The hasam, the money will go to the father, because hasam kiyaris aviyah, when the father inherits the fine, minei da kiyaris, he's inheriting it from her. When she becomes begaris prior to the collection of the fine and then dies, the father collects the fine as hayayush, not because v'nasin laviyah, not because it goes, the money goes to the father. And that's why, in such a case, the fine, even the fine after the psak bezdin, is considered money that's yarshined, even before the money was actually collected. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if Rav Shimon and the Braisa meant that there's no chiv karban shvua, even after the psak bezdin, why does he say yotz elushin knas? How does the Braisa say that these things are knas, mamon have a, it's mamon at that point? Answers the Gemara, Aram Nachman Yitzchok, yotz elush nikrim knas. What the Braisa meant to say is, since they started off as knas, yes, now they're mamon, but since they started off as knas, that's why the Braisa calls it a knas. Eisvei asked the Gemara another kasha, the Mishnah of Shimon. The Mishnah says, a mesech de shvus. Rav Shimon Paiter, Shein Misham Knas Apele Atzmai. Rav Shimon says that there's no chiv carbon shvua by the oinus of Mefata who sweared falsely. Shein Misham Knas Apele Atzmai. Because since he could be potter from the Knas. Tama. And what does it say the reason is? The Lo Yomid Bedin. Because there was not yet the conviction. Ha Yomid Bedin. The Misham Apele Atzmai. It seems, since he's saying that it's called a Knas, and till when is there a din of moed b'knas? Only up to the conviction. After the psak took place, there is no longer an opportunity for moed b'knas. Then it would be considered mamon. But we're saying now that Rav Shimon holds that even after the psak bezdin, after the conviction, it's still not subject to carbon shvua by oynes mefata because of the special limit of the nosan. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand that mission is as follows. Rav Shimon l'devrem Rabbanu kamuhu. Rav Shimon is addressing the Rabbanu, and he's saying to them as follows. Lididi, I hold af agav da amad bedin. Even if there was already a din taira and a convection, he's still potter for carbon shvur. The Rechmana patr mekichesh. The taira exempts a ma'aynus and mafata from a carbon shvur always. Eliditchu, says Rav Shimon to Rabbanu, you at least oidly mias the hecha the loy amr bedin, that if there was not yet a din Torah, there was not yet a psak, the kikatova, so what the father is asking from the ma'anis is knas kikatova, he's requesting the knas or maidab knas, we know is potter, and therefore you should agree that at least if there was no din Torah yet, there was no psak yet, that he should not be mechuyev karban shvur. Rabbanan savri, and Rabbanan hold, as we said earlier at the shir, kikatova, he's not requesting the knas, which if there was no din Torah yet, since the halacha is moideh b'knas is potter, he would have a right, he would indeed not have a right to make a carbon shvur here, because it's only knas, it's mamon. The father's request of this ma'anis is boishet b'gam katova, which is considered mamon. Says the Rambam b'maikom mefgi, what's the basis of the machlokes between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan? Amra Papa, Rav Shimon Sova, Leshavik Inish Midah Dekitz. When one has a claim against someone else, and there are two types of claim. One is a fixed claim, Chamishim Kesef of Knas, and one is not fixed. The Baishas of Begam have to be evaluated. So Rav Shimon holds Leshavik Inish Midah Dekitz. A person doesn't abandon the fixed claim and Tava Midah Dekitz and ask for the Baishas of Begam, which are not clearly identifiable. Rabbanan Sava, Leshavik Inish Midah Dechimoyde Bei Loi Mifter. A person would prefer to ask, the father prefers to claim the Baishas Begam, where, as we learned in yesterday's shir, there is no way for the Ma'anis to extract himself from it, because there is no claim of Moide Beknas on the Baishas Begam, and the father prefers to claim that, rather than Tava Midah Dechimoyde Bei Mifter, rather than claim the Knas, which the Ma'anis or the Mefata have a way of exempting themselves from by being a Moide B'Knas. So as the Tosfos Yeshanim summarizes our Gemara, Rav Shimon and the Chachamim have two machlokes. One machlokes is after the conviction, after the psak, that Rabbanan hold that the knas by oynes and mafata is considered a regular situation of mammon and there's a chiv carbon shvua. And Rav Shimon says that there is no chiv carbon shvua by the knas of oynes and mafata even after the psak bezdin. And the other machlokes is prior to the din Torah, and what is the father claiming from the ma'anis? According to Rav Shimon, the father is claiming the knas, and therefore it's not considered mammon because the halacha is made with knas is potter. And the rabbanan hold that he's claiming the boishes of begam, which are considered mammon, and therefore all the halachas of mammon of karban shvua apply.